be with you. I'll be back just a few minutes.
Well, good afternoon, race fans. Beautiful day here in Bristol. I hope you're rejoicing in the Lord today, thanking God for the beautiful weather that He's given us to enjoy. The Bible tells us that God in His goodness gives good weather, and bad weather causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust, both alike. And I'm here to ask you today, which one are you? Are you just today, or are you unjust? It's a really important question to ask, because it is appointed unto a man to die once, and after this face judgment. This is what we read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. But what I want to read to you today from in the Word of God is found in the Proverbs. It's found in the Proverbs. I want you to ask yourself, how's your heart? You see, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the way you can tell today if you're wise or if you're a fool is how you treat the Word of God. Because the Word of God says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So we're here today to give you instruction and to warn every person here that can hear us and to plead with you to examine your heart before God. Before God, the just judge who made you, who gave you your life. And the God is going to require your life of you. 10 out of 10 people die. It's a statistic none of you can get away from. Everyone who came before you and everyone who's going to come after you is going to die. Face God in judgment. Give an answer for every thought, every word, and every deed. So Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23 says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the issues of life. The issues of life. Everything in life comes from the heart. Everything you say, everything you do, every thought you have, every emotion, every gesture, everything you don't do comes from your heart. And the Bible says to keep or guard your heart with all vigilance, with all diligence. There's nothing more sacred that you own that you need to guard. The difference between being just and unjust, being righteous and unrighteous, the difference between heaven and hell, the difference between being a friend of God and an enemy of God is the condition of your heart. So how can you tell how your heart is today? Well, it's a real easy way. Take a look into the Word of God and examine the laws of God, His holy laws, the Ten Commandments, and see how you do. Because those are the laws that God's going to judge you by one day. The first law says, you shall have no other gods before me. Have you loved God above all else? Have you given Him all His worship and praise that He deserves? Or have you given it to something else? Because any time you give to something or someone worship and devotion that belongs only to God, you're breaking this commandment. Second one says, you shall not make for yourselves any idols or graven images. And a lot of people think themselves innocent of breaking that commandment because they've never really carved anything out of wood to bow down to or pray to. But friends, if you have a concept of God in your mind that you've forged together, if you've graven an image of God in your mind that you are comfortable with, and a God that's comfortable with the sins that you love and hates what you hate, a God who's just like you, not the holy God of heaven and earth, not the one true God, but a God of your own making, then you're guilty of idolatry. If you believe in a God who doesn't send anyone to hell, then you are making an idol for yourself and are breaking the second commandment. Third commandment says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Vain simply means empty. A lot of people, when you correct them, when they take the name of the Lord in vain, and you correct them about what the Word of God says, that God won't hold them guiltless who take His name in vain, they reply by saying, well, you know, it's just a saying. It doesn't really mean anything. But friend, that's exactly what vain means. Meaningless. Empty. Using something in an empty or meaningless way. So, to use the name of the Lord as simply a saying, ascribing no value or worth or meaning to it, is exactly that. That's exactly what it is to take the name of the Lord in vain. And if you've taken the name of the Lord in vain, the Word of God says that God will not hold you guiltless for taking His name in vain. It's the third commandment. Fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. For in 6 days the Lord created the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day He rested. So He took that seventh day and He set it apart as holy, and He commanded us to rest on that day. The commandments of God really test our hearts to really see where our devotions lie. What do most people say about the Lord's day? What do most people say about keeping the Sabbath? They say, listen, that's the only day I have. You know, I work hard all week, and that's really only the only day I have time for myself. The only day I have time for my hobbies and my interests and my likes, or, you know, to kick around the yard. Well, friends, it's no excuse. God says you're supposed to work for 6 days, and on the seventh day you rest. So working all week isn't an excuse. It's part of the command. Have you honored the Lord by keeping His day holy? By taking one day out of seven and giving God the worship and praise He deserves. It's a test. It shows the condition of your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the issues of life. The issues of life. The fifth commandment says, you shall honor your father and your mother. You shall honor your father and your mother. If you break this commandment, you're guilty of violating the laws of an infinitely holy God, the God who will judge you on the final day. On the final day. And the Bible tells us that if one turns away his ear from hearing the law, that even his prayer is an abomination. A lot of people say, I know I'm right with God. I know I'm right with God because I pray. Well, friends, the Bible says if you turn away from hearing the law of God, that your prayers are an abomination to Him. That God is not listening to you. If you turn your ear away from hearing the Word of God, He's not listening to you. Your prayers stink in His nose. It's an offense to Him. Even your prayers are an abomination to God, the Word of God says, if you turn away your ear from hearing the Word of God, the law of God. And that's what we're reading to you today. Reading to you the Word of God, that you might have ears to hear and a heart to fear. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So I pray that you wouldn't despise the Word of God today. I pray that you wouldn't turn your ear away from it and thereby make your prayers an abomination. I pray that you would fear God and live. The sixth commandment says, you shall not murder. And Jesus really showed us the root of this commandment when He spoke that whoever insults his brother is in danger of the judgment. And whoever turns to his brother and cries out, you fool, is in danger of hellfire.
Yeah, that works really hard.
So, sorry about that. That hatred. Hatred is the same thing as murder, Jesus is teaching us here. We're also told in the book of 1 John that whoever hates his brother is a murderer. That murder doesn't start with your actions, it starts with your heart. So if you've ever hated somebody, you're a murderer in the eyes of God. If you've ever been angry at somebody without a cause or insulted them, Jesus says you're in danger of hell fire. Because the commandments are deeper than your actions. They show your heart, the state of your heart. The heart that God tells you to keep with all diligence. That heart that all the issues of life flow out of. You're told to keep it with all diligence. And Jesus will judge us on the last day by our hearts. By our hearts. So if you've ever hated anybody, been angry at somebody without a cause, or insulted somebody, you're in danger of that fire. Seventh commandment says you shall not commit adultery. All sex outside of marriage, biblical marriage, is sin. All sex outside of marriage is sin. Any sex you're practicing outside of marriage, even if it's with yourself behind a computer, is sin. It's adultery. A lot of men think themselves innocent of committing adultery because they've never touched another woman. Well, they touch themselves almost every day. Looking at pornography on the internet. If that's you, you should be ashamed. That's disgusting to both man and God. We laugh at it. But you know what? Fools make a mock at sin. So if you hear this and you laugh, fools make a mock at sin. And you have great reason to fear God today, if that's you. You know, what do you do with a peeping Tom? He's a perpetrator. He's a criminal. He sneaks around looking in window after window, just trying to get a glimpse of something. But those of you who go home and look on your computer at pornography are worse than a peeping Tom, because you go through millions of windows until you find exactly what you're looking for. You're an adulterer. Don't mock at this. Fools make a mock at sin. This should cause you to fear, not boast in your sin. This is the very thing that will condemn you on the day of judgment. It's nothing to mock about. You think yourself a man because you laugh about pornography? You're going to melt before God. He's going to crush you on that day. It's nothing to mock about. It's something to feel terrible about and repent. It's nothing to feel tough about, because it's not. You only feel that way because all your friends feel the same way, because they're just as foolish as you are in their sin. Stupidity, it's an insult to a holy God, and it's an insult to women who are also made in the image of God. Sex is sacred. It's sacred. That's why the seventh commandment commands that all sex outside of biblical marriage is sin. So repent. Turn from your wicked ways and live. Because no adulterer shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. No matter how popular it is. No matter how much you giggle about it and touch yourself. You're sick and you need to repent. Whoever sins is a slave to sin. And you need to be set free today by Jesus Christ. The only one who can. Because he's the only one who died for sinners. The eighth commandment says you shall not steal. And it really doesn't matter how much it costs, if it even costs anything. Taking anything that doesn't belong to you is theft. Makes you a thief. Doesn't matter if it's been 20 years, you are a thief in the eyes of God. Because time does not take away your sin. It doesn't. Ninth commandment is you shall not lie. And we've got a color for every different type of lie. We've got white lies, we've got black lies, we've got gray lies, we've got every little type of lie in between. To make ourselves feel good about ourselves even though we're wicked. Your lies are wicked. They don't cover your rear end. They don't help your friends. They condemn you before a holy God. They don't make you more liked by other people. They condemn you before a holy God. They're nothing to color up to make yourself feel better about. Your lies are wicked. God hates all lies. And every liar will have their part in the lake of fire. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. If you love me, you'll keep my commands. Not just say, I can break his commands because I love him, because that's not Christianity. But that's what a lot of people think Christianity is. Because they say, Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my homeboy. I accepted him into my heart at some point in my life. I've got my fire insurance. I'm good to go. Got my heavenly flu shot. Friends, Jesus is not a get out of hell free card. He's the one who causes you to be born from above. And if you're not made a new creature, don't insult him by saying you belong to him. Because he says, all who name the name of the Lord must depart from evil. That if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. If you say that you know that you know Jesus Christ as Lord today, has that made a difference in your life? Has it made a difference in your life? Because if it is not, then you're calling God a liar. God is a God of truth. That's why it's wrong to lie. You see, these Ten Commandments are not just some commandments that God arbitrarily came up with to just impose on us to ruin our day. Do you know why it's wrong to lie? Because God is truth. Because God is not a liar. So when you lie, you're lying about who God is. Man and women are made in the image of God. And when they lie, they are bearing false witness about the God in whose image they are made. Because God is truth. Do you know why it's wrong to commit adultery? It's not because God made some arbitrary rule about sex to ruin your day, to rain on your perversion. It's because God is faithful. And God keeps His promises and His covenants and His vows. And He does not break them. So if you're one of the million couples this year who are going to end your marriage in divorce, know that you're lying about God, who God is. If you're having sex outside of marriage and having any kind of sexual sin, know that you're lying about who God is. All sin is a reflection of God. Sin is an issue of God. It's about God. Why is it wrong? Because God is truth. God is right. That's why we call it righteous. When you obey what is right, you're reflecting God's holy character. Sin is about who God is. It's not about you. It's about Him. It's about Him. And the gospel is also about Him. A lot of people think the gospel is about man. Man having his sin forgiven so man can go up to heaven and kick back forever. The gospel is not about you. It's primarily about God. That God would be so good and kind and gracious to forgive His enemies by slaughtering His only begotten Son under the wrath they deserve. Who's that about? The criminal or the great and merciful judge? It's about the great and merciful judge, God Almighty. So if you claim to name the name of the Lord today, worship Him as holy and submit your life to the Word of God. Because the gospel is not about you having your best life now and your best life in heaven. The gospel is about God. Even if you have to suffer and lose your life, He's worthy. And even if the next life wasn't paradise, He's worthy. It's not about what you get in the end. It's about the one you're worshiping and living for. We don't worship God because of heaven. Because we want a nice eternity. Because we're still worshiping for ourselves. We worship God for God. We worship God for God. How's your heart? The Word of God says to keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the issues of life. Is your heart being guarded? Are you keeping it today? Are you being careful to guard it against sin and against covetousness, against law breaking, against hardening yourself, your ears to the Word of God? Those who harden their ears to the law of God make their prayers an abomination. God won't even hear you when you pray. So how do you know you're right with God today? Because the Word of God leaves no options except one. Jesus Christ, God the Son, who became flesh and lived among us, who lived a perfect life in every thought, in every word, and in every deed. He was without sin in every single way. Unlike you and I, He was perfect, and everything He did pleased God. On the other side of that, you and I, everything we do outside of Christ displeases God. Because as the prophet Isaiah wrote in chapter 64, verse 6, he said, "All our righteous deeds are as filthy rags in the sight of God." That's how holy He is. because our hearts are so stained with sin that even when we go to do something great in the eyes of man, that God sees it as sin.
Jesse, did you want to go when I'm done?
Yeah. That God sees it as sin. That's how holy He is. That even our best efforts are not just not good enough, they are sin in His sight. Sin in His sight. Stained and filthy. So there's no way a person can make themselves right on their own before God, because your best efforts, the best foot you're going to put forward to try to impress Him with, is sin in His sight. He says even your prayers are an abomination if you forget His law. So if our sin is wicked and evil and condemns us, and then our most righteous deeds are sinful in His sight, what in the world can we do to get right with God? And the answer is absolutely nothing. God has to be the one who does it. And He did. God demonstrated His love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Christ died. That's the only way you can be made right with God. Because God is a just judge, and He can by no means clear the guilty. He's got to punish sin. So if He offers you any forgiveness without punishing your sin, He's breaking His own word, something He can't do, because God's not a liar. He's not like us. So how can a perfect judge who can't let sin go unpunished, how can He forgive sinners? And the answer to that question is only found in the cross of Christ, where God made Him sin for us. God clothed Christ in sin that He never committed and was pleased to crush Him. Think about that. God was pleased to crush Jesus Christ for sins He never even committed. How do you think He feels about those who did commit them? And what do you think He will do to those who did commit them? The sins you're committing here today, the sins you've committed all your life, storing up wrath, heaping up the wrath of God like a great and fiery mountain. Because wrath is hatred poured out. God hates sin, and He'll not let any go unpunished. So what are you hoping in today? My question for you is, what are you trusting in? Are you keeping your heart? And are you trusting in the right thing, in the right place, in the right person? Because if you're trusting that you're a good person, please hear me, you're not. If you're trusting that your works are good enough to get you into heaven, believe me, they are not. But there is a sure way, a much surer way than any way you can come up with or I can come up with. And that's the way God provided, through the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who takes away the sin of the world. So will you have your sin taken away by the only one who can? Or will you continue to try to come up with your own way? Or just continue going with no way at all? Not concerned at all about the God who made you, the God who formed you, the God who's going to require your life from you. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? What shall this weekend profit you if you lose your soul? What shall all of your life profit you if you lose your soul? It would have been better if you had not been born. I pray that you'd repent and cry out to God and put your faith in Jesus Christ, the only one who can save. Amen.